1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 6. Verse number 5 is one of my text verses this morning. We're going to verses 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And let's pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your pure words. Lord, instruct us, help us please this morning as your children. I know how you've used this truth in my life. And Lord, it's helped me over and over again. So please, could you use it in each person's life this morning? Open our eyes and let us behold wonderful things out of thy law. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. And just listen to me just for a little bit. Peter could be one of my favorite people in the Bible because he's so much like us. Out of all the apostles, you look at James, the half-brother of our Lord, and he had such a stately personality used of God to pen the book of James. You look at John, the youngest of the apostles, used of God to write five books in the New Testament, John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. And they say he's the beloved disciple. And you look at John and you just think, wow, to get that close to the Lord. Peter, though, he's so human. He's so like us in our failures. He's so compassed about with weakness, always shooting off of his mouth. And when you look at Peter, you're encouraged and you hope perhaps that the great potter would be able to make something of me, just like he made it of Peter because of his failures. Peter was a disciple of John the Baptist, like many of the disciples were. They were with John first, and then as Jesus comes on the scene and they hear him preaching, they leave the leadership of John and join Jesus. And Peter first meets our Savior on Philip's introduction. I'll just read it to you. John chapter 1 says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, who is Peter, and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew brings Peter to Jesus. And when Jesus beholds him, looks at Peter for the first time, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which being interpreted is a stone. That's the first words Peter ever heard Jesus say. And I know when we look at it, but can you imagine, Jesus has never met Peter, but he knows who he is because he's God. And he says, you're Simon, that's his Greek name, but his Aramean name was Cephas. So he just gave his name in a different language. He said, but you're going to be Cephas, which means a stone. And can you imagine what Peter must have thought? Here's a fisherman, and he walks away and he goes, I know how fickle I am. I know I'm not a rock. I know how impetuous I am. I know how quick to say things I am with my mouth, and he thinks I'm a stone. He sees something in me that I don't see in myself. And isn't that how Jesus works? And I wonder if Peter thought, if he sees that in me, then maybe I could have better hopes for myself because of what the Savior sees. I love this verse in the Bible. Romans chapter 4 says, "The Lord calleth those things which be not as though they were." It's a beautiful statement. God calls things that are nothing with the hope of what they'll become. And when God saved you, yeah, we're all nothing without the Lord. But God says what you could be with my help, if you'll let me work. Every Christian doesn't let God work in their life. But Jesus said what you could be with you letting me steer the wheel and guide the ship, you could be far more than you've ever known. Amen? That's the way God, not just in Peter's life, I think Peter's mind is blown when he said, "From now on you'll be called Cephas," which being interpreted is a stone. I think Peter's mind was blown. He sees something in me I don't see. Did you know, just like Jesus speaks these words of encouragement to Peter, and he gives in faith, Peter can now grow to what the Lord sees him to be. Peter said to himself at the close of that interview, he says, "The Savior believes in me, and I'm glad our Savior believes in us." Many think the first time Peter spoke with Jesus is in John 21. And we're not going to go there this morning, but most people will turn to John 21, and Peter says, "I go a-fishing," and he's out fishing with Andrew and James and the fishermen, and then Jesus appears on the shore, cooks fish for them. Peter girds himself about with a coat, swims to shore, and then Jesus asks him, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And the three questions are asked. I think because this morning's text that we looked at, 1 Corinthians 15, I think it says here in verse 5, "And that he was seen of Cephas," we know that that's Peter, "then of the 12. Before Jesus showed himself to the 12 in the room that they were in, he had a meeting with Peter. That's what the Bible says, right? 1 Corinthians 15, everybody with me there as far as, okay? So on Resurrection Sunday morning, the two disciples are on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. And we'll go to some places this morning. Just listen to me for a second. When you look at that passage, I love that passage. Two disciples are walking. You know, Jesus had more disciples than 12, right? The Bible speaks of 70 that went out two by two. So there were more disciples than just the 12. And it says two of the disciples were walking. And it says one of the name was Cleopas. That's not Cephas. Cephas is Peter's name. Peter was not one of those disciples. Now, I'll let you look at it later, but John 19:25 says Cleopas was married. You know, there's, just stay with me for a second, okay? There's six Marys in the New Testament. Every time you read the word Mary, it's not the mother of Jesus, okay? One of the Marys was Cleopas' wife, and it says Cleopas was the brother of Joseph, Jesus' stepdad. Now, I'm speculating based on John 19:25. You can look it up later, and if you disagree with me, that's fine, but just stick with me for a second. Cleopas is walking with a disciple, and it says, I'm just giving you food for thought, in verse 29 of Luke 24, when they get to the place where they stay, they don't know it's Jesus yet, but they say, "Abide with us." Okay, I don't think that two disciples lived in one house. I think that was Cleopas and Mary. That's what I think. We'll find out when we get to heaven. Because I think a husband and wife had a house, and they invite Jesus in. They're then sitting there, and it says they took the bread, and he blessed it. And it said right when they heard him pray, they realized it was him. And the moment they saw it was him, he vanished out of their sight. He was gone. Then they run to the disciples, Cleopas and his wife, Mary, I think, run to the disciples, and in Luke 24, it says, verse 34, it says, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." And then listen to these words, "and hath appeared to Simon." Somewhere along the lines, Cleopas and his wife learned that, yes, the Lord had risen, but early that morning, he had a meeting with Peter. He had a meeting with Peter. Knowing that, can you take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 16? Mark chapter 16. On resurrection morning, I think there was a lot happening. It was obviously, nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew Jesus would rise again from the dead. Because if they would have, you can't tell me there wouldn't have been thousands of people at the tomb that morning going, yeah, any moment now, stone's going to roll away and he's coming out of there. Nobody knew what was going on. They all thought he was dead. They didn't understand it. Everybody's got head games going on. So nobody understood the crucifixion. Because it said if they would have, they would have stayed at the cross. But it says they all forsook him and fled. The only one that stayed by the cross was John. That Jesus could say, behold your mother. In other words, Jesus was saying, I'm getting ready to leave. Take care of my mom. And woman, behold thy son. The only one that didn't leave was John. So nobody knew what was going on. Look at Mark chapter 16. Here we are. And Mary runs to the stone. To the grave, and look at Mark 16, verse 4. And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples, and then notice these two words, and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there ye shall see him, there shall ye see him, and as he said unto you. Let me just hit a few things with you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The book of Mark, God used Mark, the one that left Paul, to pen the book of Mark. But many legend... Just listen closely. Legend also says Peter helped Mark pen the book of Mark. Now, we know the Holy Spirit did it through them. Holy men of God spake as they were moved to the Holy Ghost. It's God's word. But the book of Mark is, many believe that once Mark left Paul, he came back, left the mission field, yes, in disgrace. Mark, though, is used of God. But Peter took Mark under his wing and helped him. And isn't it amazing, out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, on resurrection morning, Mark is the book that says, only records, the angel telling the women, go tell his disciples and Peter that he's risen. I know that this is the Word of God and it's not the words of Peter, but I just think, out of all of the angel mentions Peter. Why would he do that? Why would he say, tell his disciples, tell and Peter. That's because Peter had failed Jesus. Of all the apostles, Peter failed the most. And what's amazing is that love that never dies and that love that's stronger because it's God's love. Jesus still sent for him after all the times he failed him. Somewhere between the denial early Wednesday morning and the appearance of Jesus among the disciples on Sunday night, somewhere, Jesus had a personal appointment with Peter. Peter had to deal with five failures the night Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified Wednesday morning from 9 o'clock until 3. But Peter was told by Jesus, first of all, take your Bible and let's look at the failures. Go to Luke chapter 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look at Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. This isn't one of the failures, but Jesus is trying to prepare Peter. And Jesus knows what Peter is getting ready to face. To be the only disciple that denies the Lord on the night of the crucifixion, you would have to say, to live with yourself after that, you're going to need Jesus' help. So Jesus is trying to prepare Peter for his failure. And look at Luke 22 and look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter has no clue what Jesus is saying to him. Jesus is looking at Peter saying, Simon, Satan's coming after you, and you're going to fail. But I'm praying for you, so that when you pull yourself out of it and you recover, I want you to use that experience to help the rest of the apostles. Peter has no clue as what he's saying. To show you this again, Jesus is trying to tell him, look at John chapter 13, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to John chapter 13. It would have been nice if Peter would have said, okay, if Satan's coming after me, then I better wake up, better get myself alert. Satan's not coming after the 12, he's coming after me personally. Then I better spiritually get ready. Peter doesn't. Here's another account where Jesus tells Peter, look at John chapter 13, look at verse 36. Jesus just gets done washing the disciples' feet and teaching them to serve one another. And watch this, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. In other words, he said, I'm going to die. You can't follow me right now, but later on he tells Peter, you're going to die just like I do. They're going to crucify you, Peter. Peter ends up being crucified on a cross upside down. So, keep on going. Verse 37. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Will you, Peter? Can you imagine shooting your mouth off like that? And Jesus knows that you're getting ready to deny him. Will you really, Peter? Will you really? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You're going to deny me three times before the sun comes up. I know that went right over Peter's head. Peter, once again, isn't catching a word Jesus is saying. Well, okay, let's put ourselves in Peter's shoes. If Jesus was able to talk to you personally and said, tomorrow's going to be the worst day of your life, you're going to be tempted at the highest point you've ever been tempted, and you're going to fail, what would you do? Would you fall to your knees and cry for help? That'd be common sense, right? This goes right over Peter's head. Peter, you're going to fail me. Then, watch this, verse number 30. Now, when you get to verse 38, here's what the chapter breaks in your King James Bible can do. It gets you thinking that another time has passed, but this conversation that Jesus is having with Peter in John chapter 13 doesn't stop. The chapter breaks and verses were put in your Bible to help us study the Bible, but the Bible wasn't written with chapters. It was written in paragraphs. And then in 1551, when Stephanus put the chapter breaks and the numbers in there, the study of the Bible went up, like exponentially. Why? Because now you can reference points of the Bible, whereas you couldn't before. You just had to say, somewhere in John. Now you can go John chapter 13, verse 38, boom, and you're right there. So the numbers make the study of the Bible a lot better, doesn't it? Okay? But when you hit chapter 14, you think, okay, Jesus is talking to Peter here, 36 to 38. Then you hit chapter 14, and this is a famous verse. Do you realize Jesus is still talking with Peter? So right after verse, let's read verse 38, and then let's go right into verse 1 of 14. Watch this. Jesus answered, verse 38, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You're going to fail me. Then look at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So as soon as Jesus tells Peter, you're going to fail me, he says, let not your heart be troubled. In this life, on this earth, you're going to fail me. But there's coming a day in heaven I'm going to take you to, and you won't fail me anymore. Aren't you glad? So, you see how that goes together? Sometimes I think the chapter breaks can separate it, when sometimes there doesn't need to be a separation there. And I think you can get just a beautiful truth in the heart of the Savior as you read it that way. If you think of his failures that night, go to Matthew chapter 16. Watch this. Matthew chapter 16. I realize there were so many things that the disciples didn't understand until after the resurrection. But Peter voiced his disapproval of the cross, and watch how the Lord Jesus teaches Peter when he disagrees with him. Watch this. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He's rebuking Jesus. Okay, it's one thing if you tell Jesus, I'm not getting it, going over my head, could you say that again? Missed it. It's another thing when it says he took, which implies somehow putting his arm on him, shoulder, arm, and then rebukes him. To Jesus? Really? Peter, here we are again. This is failure number one that Peter has to deal with. Okay, so he starts rebuking Jesus, and then, verse 23, but he, Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Okay. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So Jesus just tells him, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, be killed, and raise again the third day. Peter grabs him and says, be it far from thee, and rebukes him. He says, you shouldn't be doing that. And he says, get thee behind me. How would you like Jesus to call you Satan? Okay, I failed the Lord, but I think this is one of the strongest rebukes in the Bible. To live with yourself, a Christian, and Jesus looks at you and says, you know who you remind me the most of? The devil. And he's telling Peter, you're way out of line. You're not thinking spiritually at all. There isn't a spiritual bone in your body. You're not perceiving anything I've told you. And then Peter has to live with this. I think Jesus was right in what he did. I think he's righteous, he's pure, he's true. But I'm just trying to tell you what was going on in Peter's mind that night. The first thing he's told is, by Jesus, the person you remind me the most of is the devil. And look, it's one thing if somebody tells you that. It's another thing when Jesus tells you that. Okay? When Jesus tells you, you're Satan, you need to go pray. Okay? You need to go read your Bible. All right? This passage is also mentioned in Mark chapter 8. Peter, even though he was sincerely wrong. So, they're engaged in conversation, and Simon Peter, in that chapter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in that same chapter, Jesus said to him, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. And then Peter hears this, rebukes him, and Peter says to Jesus, you just said that you're going to the cross. He said, be far from thee. Peter wanted Jesus to set up his kingdom right then and rule on the earth. And Jesus is trying to tell Peter, I have to die first, then I'll set up my kingdom. I'm not going to free you from the Romans because you're sick of paying taxes and you don't like the Roman soldiers bidding you carry their packages for their backpacks for a mile. No, stay under it. I have to die first. Well, it's not the way I want it. Welcome to life. There's a lot of things that aren't the way you want it. Jesus says, I know what I'm doing. Secondly, Peter had to learn the lesson that there's no fruitfulness without death. There's no worship until you first sacrifice. Just listen to this verse. John 12:24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. God says here, Simon had a lot to learn. Let's look at his second failure. Go to John 13. Go to John 13. Verse 1, this is where Jesus, after he establishes the Lord's Supper, he washes the disciples' feet. And then, so look at verse number 4. It says here, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin. And does everybody understand? An apron is something a slave wore, and Jesus put that on to serve. All the disciples are amazed because they all knew one of them should have volunteered to wash everybody's feet. Nobody did because everybody's trying to be the greatest. And Jesus stands up and puts on a towel, wraps it around him so he can put their feet in his lap. And I think they're all going, uh-oh, we blew it again. Then, look at verse 5, after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Any of the other disciples could have said, Jesus, I don't want you washing my feet. Peter, shooting off his mouth, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Peter, you're doing it again. Watch this. Jesus said, you don't understand it. Let me do it. Verse 8, Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Okay, watch closely. Verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So here's what he says. Okay, well then, wash me all over. Peter, here's what Jesus is saying. Okay? He's saying, the washing, he said, that I'm doing, he said, is picturing service. He said, I've already, salvation is when the washing of regeneration of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5. When you get saved, you receive a washing, that's your sins being washed away, right? But all of us need our feet washed as we walk through this world and we get our feet dirty. That's us confessing our sins, right? So Jesus is telling Peter, I've already washed you once all over. I've saved you. Now you need to let me wash your feet. Here's Peter. Nobody's getting it. You understand? Peter's just, he's totally confused. Jesus said in verse 10, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. That's in reference to Judas. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he not. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So here's Peter, shooting off his mouth, blows it again. Wow, I missed the whole picture. Failure number 2. Let's look at failure number 3. Failure number 3. Go to Matthew chapter 26. I know there's foot washing churches, but I'm so glad Jesus did that so that we would serve each other. Amen. If I had to come to church and take my socks off, I would throw up. We did a couples activity in Tennessee one time with my wife and I, and all the guys had to take their socks off, and you had to walk behind a board, and all you could see was their feet. And then all the women voted on who had the ugliest feet. And out of, I think, 8 guys, guess who won? So I'm so glad I don't have to come to church and take off my socks. Okay, Matthew 26, ready? Here we go. Okay, Matthew 26, verse number 39, ready? Watch this. Here's failure number 3, Matthew 26, 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and just notice this closely, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? What a rebuke. I left the other 9 disciples, and I brought you, James, and John up here to pray with me. And you fall asleep. You can't pray with me 1 hour. You have no idea. Can you imagine Jesus placing Jesus? And it doesn't say Jesus told all 3 of them, couldn't you watch? He looks at Peter and says, couldn't you pray with me just for 1 hour? When I needed you the most. you still couldn't come through. So guess what happens when all three disciples are sleeping? An angel does what? Appears to Jesus and strengthens him. That's what it says. God always comes through. Amen. But after that time, Jesus has now got blood coming out of his pores. The Bible says he was sweating blood. And he comes to Peter after this agony and prayer and says, "You failed me." And you can't tell me Peter's going, "Wow, I can't wait till this day is done. Failure number 3. I am a failure. I failed him over and over and over again." Let's look at failure number 4. You're in Matthew, you look at verse number 41. Go down to verse 51. Watch this. "And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" So Peter is the one. They come up the hill. Jesus rebukes them. They all fall backwards. You would have thought somebody would have got the picture. Nobody does. They're all, when you put them in chains. They come up as Peter draws his sword and goes to smite, take off his head. Malchus ducks and the sword cuts off his ear. And Jesus looks right at Peter and says, "Peter, put your sword up." So here's Malchus. Jesus is talking to Peter saying, "I have to die. I'm in control. If I wanted, I don't need your sword. I've got 1,000 angels that I could say now." If one angel in the Bible could kill 180,000 people in one moment, what could 1,000 angels do? You can't tell me all heaven was just like this. Just speak. And he looks at Peter and says, "Put your sword up. Nobody takes my life. I'm willingly giving it." They didn't murder Jesus. He gave his life. He let them do it. He said, "Peter, I'm in control." And can you imagine as Jesus, in Luke it says, he touched his ear. I don't know if Jesus picks up the ear off of the ground and goes to Malchus, boop, and then it's healed. Or one of two things happened. He either picks up the piece of the ear and puts it back on his head, or he touches his ear and a new ear grows. Either way, that's pretty big stuff. You would have thought all the soldiers standing around go, "We got the wrong guy." Right? Nothing clicks. Satan is having a heyday. And Peter is standing there. A little bit of blood on the failure four. I blew it again. I'm the only disciple that messed this up. Then let's look at the final one. This is the one everybody's familiar with. Look at Luke chapter 22. Look at Luke chapter 22 and look at verse number 54. This is the three denials of Jesus. Luke 22 verse 54. "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they were had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he, Peter, denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not." Strike one, verse 58. "And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not." Verse 59, "And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth this fellow also is with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest." And in one of the Gospels it says he began to cuss. "I'll prove to you I don't know him." And he started cussing. "And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." You can't tell me that look didn't haunt Peter for the rest of his life. The hall was a center hall where Jesus was, and there was fingers off of it, and Peter is down here, and he's watching the priests smite Jesus, and his face is swelling, and his teeth are probably coming through his lip, and his face is swollen. He's watching him as he warms. He's seeing him all the way down the hall, and he's watching him getting spit on. And they're mocking him and beating him. And so Peter's just, he's scared. Says for the third time, I don't know him, and starts cussing. And then as he looks at Jesus, Jesus is able to meet eyes with him all the way down there. And then he hears the cock crow. That was strike five. Three denials. No other apostle denied him that night. I don't know him. Got around the wrong crowd. Some have done, right? Then we don't have the strength to stand like we should. And then we deny the Lord in our actions and in our speech. Peter denied Jesus the night of the crucifixion. Then, as he leaves, can you imagine what's going through his mind? He probably went to John's house in about 6 hours. Jesus is going to be on a cross. And can you imagine all of the failures running through Peter's mind? Said, I'd die for him. Said, I'd die with him. Man, what a failure. Could he ever forgive me? And if he could forgive me, could I ever forgive myself? Then what passed, he sees Jesus die on the cross. All the disciples flee except John. The 3 days go by, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Sunday morning, the women get up early in the morning to go rebalm the body. And they go to the grave and they hear, go tell his disciples and Peter that he's risen. And can you imagine Peter hearing, Jesus appeared, he's appeared, he's alive? And it says he appeared to Mary Magdalene first, out of whom went seven devils. Now think about that. Here's a woman that used to be possessed with seven demons, and she's the first one to meet Jesus on the morning of the resurrection. I can't help but think, what did Peter think? He thought, if she's got a bad past, if Jesus appeared to her, I wonder if he'd appear to me. Because I've failed him too like nobody has. But would he spend time with me? He spent time with her. I wonder if I could see him. And that morning, I love reading that account. She appears to Jesus. Mary recognizes him as Rabboni and Master. She goes back and she tells the disciples he's alive. John and Peter then get up out of the room. John is younger, obviously. He's the youngest of the apostles. And they're running to the tomb. John outruns Peter. John stops at the edge. They've taken his body? Taken his body? Because they heard two reports. He's risen. And then also, they've taken his body and we don't know where it is. Did somebody raid the tomb? And so Peter passes John at the entrance of the tomb and goes in and thinks, what'd they? And he doesn't see a ransacked tomb that's been robbed. He sees grave clothes neatly folded and put in place. And that was Jesus folding his garments to say, I'm coming back. That's what folded garments meant. I'm alive. I'm returning. Peter sees it. This doesn't look like a ransacked tomb. On his way back to see the disciples, then the meeting happened. And that's where we started reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll just read you the verse. And it says, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. I don't know what happened in that interview. It just says Jesus met with Peter. And you say, well, how come it's not recorded in the Bible? Can you imagine Peter seeing Jesus for the first time? And then him, I'll bet there was broken words. You're alive. And then the first thing Peter wanted to fix was his failures. Lord, I love you. I really do. And I'm sorry. Have you ever had a meeting with Jesus that nobody knows the details about? And you don't want everybody to know the details about? I think that's how come it's not recorded in the Bible. But the Bible says he met with Peter. I don't know if Peter started maybe quoting Psalm 51, the penitent psalm. Lord, have mercy upon me. Maybe he prayed the prodigal son's prayer. Lord, I've sinned against thee and against heaven. I don't know if Jesus stopped Peter. It's okay. I know you love me. You see, when you go to John 21, that wasn't Jesus. I don't think Peter could have said everything he wanted to say to Jesus in the presence of all the disciples. He needed that one-on-one time. Peter, I forgive you.
John 21 isn't Jesus seeing Peter for the first time. It's Jesus reinstating Peter as the leader of the apostles. Do you love me, Peter? Yeah, I told you I love you. John 21. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Why do you keep... Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Lord, why do you keep... You denied me three times. They need to hear you say you love me three times. Then they'll let you lead them. I wanted to, this morning, tell you, did you know that Peter, after that, was able... Our failures take the rough edges off of us. Your failure is supposed to remind you that you need Jesus. It's not supposed to get you to quit church. You don't think Peter could have quit after being called Satan? Jesus called me Satan. The pastor was preaching against me. That's it. I'm not going to church anymore. He didn't. Okay? Can I just tell you this morning, let me just tell you now that I know we've covered a lot. When was the last time you told Jesus, I'm sorry? In your failure, there is forgiveness. But did you know that Peter had to learn to forgive others by being forgiven? Because he's the only one of the apostles that said, Lord, said this in Matthew 18, Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times? See, the law required four. So here's Peter. I'll do 4 plus 3. Lord, should I forgive my brother seven times? Peter's mind was blown when Jesus said, not 70 times 7, which is 490 times. And Peter, once again, I think it went right over his head. And I think Jesus knew what was coming, because you know what? Where Peter couldn't fathom that, he could after he failed Jesus. Because you know what the basis of us forgiving each other is? Being forgiven. And if I could fail him like I failed him, and he's never quit on me, and he's forgiven me, then I can forgive you. Well, you just don't know what they've done. What have you done? How badly have you hurt God? And he's never quit on you. He's never failed you, and he's never stopped loving you. You've learned to forgive others as you experience God's forgiveness. And Peter became a much tenderer person because of his failures. And he became a lot more patient with other people because of his failures to God. This morning, there's more I want to cover with you. I'll just close with this. God gave us Peter to encourage us in our failures, to let us know that God still loves us. And the name of the sermon is Peter's Personal Appointment with Jesus. Christian, God loves you this morning. Don't let your failures cause you to quit. Your failures ought to push you closer to Jesus. I think Peter is one of my favorite people in the Bible, because he encourages me. Let's pray. Father, please, I know we've covered a lot of ground this morning. I wish for this truth.